Hello, and welcome to Butterflies on the Wheel, where life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions.
You need to amp it up a bit. I mean, that was pathetic.
Hello, and welcome to Butterflies on the Wheel, where life's array of unsung bastards are finally held accountable for their actions. This week, two of us will present a real-life person they've encountered who has been guilty of some form of mild twatishness. As this week's judge, I will decide who has presented the most convincing case, and the winner will have the right to compete again in the next podcast. The offences we report here are all the more criminal, guys, because they're not recognised as crimes.
You not fuck with my bit?
That actually stops with us.
God, he does that every time.
My name is Jack Gardner. I'm joined by two experts in the field of eating directly into a microphone and thus ruining the quality of a podcast, Raghu Kurntaban.
Hello.
And Sebastian fucking whatever.
Hi, I think it's pronounced Raghu Kuntban.
There's a ban of those things in my gender vicinity.
Certainly in my room.
How the fuck are you?
You know, I've been better.
I'm getting a vibe that things are maybe not quite... Everything's not right. Hunky-dory?
I feel like you could crush a walnut between his ass cheeks right now.
Do you have any walnuts?
You just look like you're clenching, like, quite hard.
I have no response to that.
The rules are simple. One, no more than 3 minutes for opening arguments. Two, the crime must be trivial. Leave the David Camerons to the actual courts and the big guy upstairs. And three, the punishment must fit the crime. So before we begin, we've come up with, here at Butterflies on the Wheel Productions, we've come up with a new service.
It's our brand new Agony Aunt service.
Agony Aunt service, yes. Yeah. Dial an agony.
Dial an agony and we will deliver you an aunt.
The acronym is ASS.
Two S. Anyway.
The guest is not allowed to... The audience member...
Shut up, audience!
Audience member is not
it
allowed...
It is, in fact, a consultancy. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is a great joke.
We do the jokes here.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say anything funnier than us. No, she's already done it. Fine. Yeah, we're a consultancy.
She's going to tell everyone that she made that up, and then they're going to be like, oh, that hilarious joke on Butterflies on the Wheel, which I definitely listened to.
Anyway, yes, we're a consultancy.
Yeah, we're a
consultant.
And if you write in your stories to us, we will not only read out your stories, we will also perform the extra service of coming up as professionals with a bespoke punishment for your trivial criminal.
Bespoke punishment, wow. Yeah. Wow, what a service, you know?
Wow. For free. For fucking free.
The way that you hire us for the very, very low price of nothing is to write into us at butterfliespodcast@gmail.com with your stories, and we read them all. We're just sifting through the absolute mountains.
We've got a bit of a backlog.
Yeah, oh my God. The postman is, I don't know. Anyway, on with the stories. For this week's coin toss, we have got
coin toss, actually.
A BP. Now, I thought until I was way too old that everyone referred to it as a BP. It's basically a remote. What did you call it in your household?
A remote.
We call it the control.
Okay, you're both godless sodomites.
Yes.
I mean, he is. Yeah. And I am godless.
Well, we call it a BP. Some people call it like a zapper.
Fuck off.
But you call it a BP.
BP.
Because you're a fucking child.
I thought that's what everyone called it.
But
until
why a BP?
I was like,
did your control make a noise?
That's just what it was. No, it's just what it was called in our family. BP. Right. So insult my family if you must. Button side up or button side down?
I won, so I decide. I can see Raghu looking to talk, but I won the last episode. I will go BP side up.
BP side up. Yeah, BP
obviously.
Side up.
As usual, I will go first because I'm not afraid of anything.
Wow, so brave.
Judge, may I approach the bench?
I believe you already have.
I done approached. So this past weekend, I was at a wedding, which is like any situation where love is in the air, fraught with trivial crimes. This was a wedding for a dear, dear friend of mine. Mm. So I was on high alert on her behalf. I'm happy to say everything went off without a hitch. It was pretty much one of the most low crime weddings I've ever attended, except from my perspective, because I was personally and viciously victimized. This is the story, my truth, if you will, about one of the most revolting, repulsive, salacious, suppurating, sinister, trivial crimes known to man.
Very nice.
That is, trying to set up two gay guys at a wedding just because they're both gay.
Oh.
Now, I would like to begin today not with a defense of my character, but with a defense of my physique. I have been called handsome. By some, I have even been called beautiful. Still others refer to me by other names. Boy, twink, faggot, slam pig, and so on. The bottom line is, I may not be movie star sexy, but I'm a pretty hot ticket. And as listeners of this podcast know, I'm also well-spoken, highly educated, and bone-achingly funny. So when anyone tries to set me up, I'm already skeptical. But like any other gal on the go, I was hoping to find some kind of love at this wedding. Especially because this was a Lebanese wedding. What does that mean? Hot, closeted Lebanese men. Big bank accounts. And some of the most adept matchmaking mothers in the world, save India Raghu. Hovering at all times around all the pretty young things. What I didn't anticipate was that while at least 10% of the population at the wedding must have been gay, or at the very least questioning, the Arab closets run deep and they run dark. Those boys can scarcely find their way out. I was hoping my faggotry would be a shining beacon to them, a gay fleshlight, flashlight, illuminating their path up and out of their heteronormative cabinetry. Instead, it transpired that out of 250 people, I was only one of two known gays at the wedding. No. Which brings us to the crime. We're sitting by the pool at the Four Seasons, living the life, laughing vodka-fueled laughs, and generally feeling ourselves at astronomically self-obsessed levels. When my friend, who's not Lebanese, turns to me and says, "Hey Bash, what do you think about him?" He means the other known gay. "Is he your type?" I respond with homosexual indignance, "Are you fucking kidding me? Look at me and look at him." Laughter ensues, see aforementioned defense of my character and physique, and the matter appears closed. Then, the wedding comes, and another friend who is Lebanese approaches me. "Besh, why don't you get with him? He's gay too." No, he's Russian. "He's gay too."
No, persist. I insist. The court insists.
He's gay too.
Thank you.
Right. I know he's gay, my good Arab friend. I see him at all the meetings. His name is in the shared sex offender network we're all required to register with. We're actually the same person. We're just interchangeable sex bot humanoids created by the government, designed to reaffirm your heteronormative bullshit. How clever of you to pick up on our essential and irreducible sameness. Finally, 2 days after the wedding, still hungover, the groom, also Lebanese, is chatting to me about what we both do for a living, which in this case means I'm talking about sports, a rare feat. And out of absolutely nowhere, he goes, "So how come you'd never gotten together with him? You know him." So for the crime of insinuating that because I happen to be a sex criminal, I would automatically be attracted to someone at least four rungs beneath me on the homosexual ladder of beauty, strength, and grace, I condemn the other 248 guests at my best friend's wedding before the judge, jury, and this real court. Thank you very much.
The real court would like to know, obviously, how buttfuck ugly is this other guy?
Listen, he's not terrible, and I've purposely not used his name in case one out of the 248 people who I've condemned before this court happen to listen to this podcast.
Statistical improbability.
But he is beneath me on the ladder of homosexual beauty, strength, and grace, as I mentioned.
That any potential Lebanese listeners we might have will be incredibly pissed off that you call them Arabs.
They are Arabs. They are. I work with about 19 Lebanese people.
There's about 70% of that country which now has declared jihad on your ass.
Well, I'm perfectly fine with that.
thanks to our non-white journalist, Raghu. Back to the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up, India. You don't know them all.
They could be Phoenician.
They're not from Italy, Raghu. Come on. On this gay rung, how many rungs is it?
Four rungs, I believe.
What, on the total ladder?
No.
On the total ladder?
Yeah.
Think about that question from like a global human perspective of like monster ugly to, you know, Salma Hayek or whatever. I'm so obsessed with her right now. She's so hot. She is so hot. Are you kidding me?
No. Not top rung.
She is approaching top rung for me.
There you go.
You're not an expert.
All right.
I'm sorry. This is out of your wheelhouse.
Okay, so who's top rung for you?
I don't know, but it's not Salma Hayek.
All right, who's top rung for you, Jack?
Me. No, genuinely.
Yeah. Well, let's think about it like this. Statistically, 10% of the people at that wedding had to have been gay. 10% of the men. Okay, so 50% are probably, so 125. It's 12 people who are on the ladder, and I'm four rungs above him on that ladder, for sure, within just the wedding ladder. Ragu, every ladder is context dependent.
You're grading on a curve, yeah, fair.
Have you ever, Ragu, done the crime? Have you ever set up or tried to set up a gay man with another gay man just because they were both gays?
No.
I've done it.
Really?
Yeah, because you don't do it when you're sober. When you're drunk, you go, oh my God, I know a perfect person for you.
And it's much more fun if you try to set up somebody who's gay with somebody who's straight.
Yeah, give them a challenge.
Because then, yeah, either it works out, which is hilarious, or it doesn't work out, which is also hilarious.
And I have told you, Ragu, I will go out with you.
Ragu.
Yes.
Can I have your story, please?
I do have a story. I have, ladies and gentlemen, spoons and little spoons, adulterers and fornicators, come up with...
Into the mic, though, obviously.
The trivialest of trivial crime. It is so trivial that I almost had a hard time even getting worked up about it. Unfortunately, as an accomplished agonizer, as a doyen of dyspepsia, as a master of malice, I managed, in my own time, to get pretty fucking worked up. This crime is a variation on a theme familiar to many of us. Overpromise, underdeliver. In general, I can sympathize with this urge. A little bit. As a charming delinquent in my youth, I have said things that aren't true under pressure to postpone a bollocking. So, for example, when I knew an exam or tests had gone badly, I would still tell my parents that it had been fine. Because why get bollocked twice?
Delayed bollification.
Exactly. Face to face, sometimes the pressure just gets to you. My crime, however, is different. It occurs in the realm of the online. I refer, of course, to the unspeakable people who will respond with going to your Facebook events and then not turn up. They won't tell you that they're not coming. There's no phone call. There's no nothing. They just don't show.
Mm.
Now, the reason I brought this up, the reason this is the quintessential trivial crime, at the heart of why this pisses me off, is the fact that there is, in fact, a can't go option. Mm. You don't have to go. There is even a maybe option. You won't disappoint anyone. Since you're clearly terrified of letting people down, just say maybe. Vacillate. Equivocate. Be ambivalent. There are so many ways to say you're an indecisive fuck. Therefore, for being the sentient equivalent of a shark, I condemn these people before the court.
I think this is the first time on the podcast that the judge has done both of these, both of the crimes that have been presented to the court.
Oh, we've all done it.
Yeah.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually get upset when people put maybe, because it's like, okay, I guess you can't commit to me.
Yeah, it's a little bit like,
but
like,
that's
how
so
important,
much better than committing and then just pulling out.
How important do you think you are that you're sort of like, maybe, come on.
I completely agree. I think if you have the emotional strength to tell someone to their Facebook that you cannot attend their event, then you should absolutely click can't go. But not one single person in this room has the emotional strength to do that.
No.
I can guarantee you.
No,
so always say that you're going.
No,
always say that you're going.
Say
and then
maybe.
Do whatever the fuck you want, bitch. You earned it.
But how good of a feeling is it when you don't go to plans?
Well, I just always click going, and then I never check my Facebook anymore because boycott, etc. Hashtag politics. And then completely forget that any event that's happened to me like six times with people in this, with both of you. With,
yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time, actually. Actually, fuck. Yeah. All the time.
I'm sorry.
You've done that like the last three parties I've tried to hold. And I don't have big parties. I don't have a big friendship group. And you always.
That's why I'm like, I'm going. There's no big deal. Of course, I'm going. And then the day comes and I'm like, I guess I'm not going.
But this is the trivialest trivial crime. I just want to say that it is.
Well, actually, that's where I disagree with you. I think this is not a trivial crime. I don't think this is a trivial crime. Shut up.
Lick
I don't
my
think
crack,
this is a
bitch.
No,
I'm on your fucking side.
Listen, I don't think it's a trivial crime.
Listen, I love you.
You don't think it's a trivial crime? Right.
He doesn't think it's the most trivial.
No, I think it's a perfect one. And you set up your stupid story by being like, oh, this is just going to be difficult to get worked up about. When actually, this is the perfect thing. You're an idiot.
Wow. Sort of that's started like, with I'm on your side and just could not have sounded more like you hate his guts.
This is like a combination of like hate sex and a backhanded compliment.
Yeah. No, it's like hate sex and then really gentle cuddling.
I fucking told you guys.
What is it?
The headline said Phoenician or Arab, a never-ending debate in Lebanon.
Oh, what?
You guys just don't believe... that I know things.
I am a Phoenician, not an Arab, asserts 20-year-old Lebanese student Rebecca Yazbek.
I fucking rest my case.
Oh my god, I fucked him at the wedding.
Thank you.
But fellow Lebanese Shahid Sekwalawi, there is no question that we are Arabs, says the 50-year-old chauffeur.
That's a totally, like, bullshit nationalist thing, though. Like, the Phoenicians were around, what, like, 3,000 years ago? Like, they got wiped out by the Greeks, the Romans, the whatever, like, and the Arabs, and the Seljuk Turks, and the Byzantines, yeah. And all those people. Like, they are not there anymore.
Hold on, just before we carry on. Listeners, wake up! Cool, carry on.
Once again, he stopped.
Once again, my education.
A rich vein of comedy snuffed out by the fucking podcast Nazi.
Punishments.
We weren't discussing this, but I do feel that this is a feeling that most people get at one point or another in their lives, regardless of their sexuality, being unwillingly set up with people. But in Lebanon, with the matchmaking witch mothers, who are literally tasked with marrying everyone in the generation beneath them, it must be absolutely constant. Absolute torture. So very simply, I'd like each and every Lebanese guest who attended this Lebanese wedding to be hounded by the Lebanese matchmaking furies for the rest of their lives, no matter their current relationships, sexualities, or familial ties. You're married? Doesn't matter. Every mother in Lebanon will text you once a day with a potential match.
What's the punishment?
I mean, getting hounded by like...
That they hound you every day.
By stay-at-home moms.
It might have been a bit
literal. Just trying to like set you up.
That seems nice.
You have no... I think this
at least someone texts, yeah.
There's a... I was going to say that there's a cultural gap, but actually I think this is just you.
Yeah.
No, but the feeling of being like it's like when adults ask you how your love life is, like that feeling of intrusion of like into your that's the punishment I want to impose, because this was an intrusion on my personal, very active sex life.
Is it more of an intrusion for you as a gay man? As you've mentioned once or... Let me just look back through the record. Yeah, you've mentioned once or twice over the history of the podcast that you're gay.
693.
You've got this sort of like the older generation sort of trying to be like woke and be like, so how's your love life going?
Well, no, not really, because I would welcome that. It's just that it's intrusive when it's assumed that because there is another known gay in the vicinity that we must both automatically be obsessed with one another and want to bone. Usually we do want to bone.
Which is my point.
Yes. Okay, fine. They know. They know that I usually want to bone. But that doesn't mean that they should make me... That they let me know that they...
Know.
No.
That you want to bone. I get it. I mean, it's a...
Thank you, Raghu.
It's a labyrinthian
the opposition
sort of maze.
Raghu, what's your punishment?
My punishment? I had written down a punishment, but then I didn't like it. So I came up with a new one on the spot because I've got a massive brain.
Huge
like
brain. It's actually poking out.
The size of a planet.
Oh, that's what's different about your hair today.
Yes. My punishment is that these people who clearly have, you know, lots of problems, stupidity, indecision, but also clearly they're sort of active enough in their social lives that they get invited to things.
Mm.
So what I want to happen to them is, you know how sometimes you're meeting somebody for the first or second time, or for the first time in a while,
mm-hmm.
and you're having some drinks, and you're just like casually like, oh, why don't you guys should come around. You guys should come to this thing that I'm doing on the 21st. And just throw it out there. And you forget about it. I want this to happen to them. And then I want them to show up. And then I want the host to open the door. And I want them very clearly to see that flash of excuse me, what the fuck are you doing here? Replaced by a mask of, oh, come in. And of course, lovely to see you. And then I want them to just stew in that dread of like showing up to the party that they weren't really invited to for about 6 hours.
That also happened to me.
That's never happened to me. That's so amazing. But that reminds me of one of the other episodes where you told a story about people recognizing you at parties when you're like, I have never met you before.
I have never been in that country before.
But it's the flip. It's like, I know exactly who you are. I cannot believe that you're here.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. That was better than your other punishment, whatever it was.
Yeah, the other one was really bad.
What was the other one?
That I want them to have lots of shots.
Shitting farts?
Yeah. Well, I called them the human equivalent of sharts in the last line of the thing.
So you made the connection.
There was no connection.
There was one very short connection.
Which was quite short.
Beautiful. Yeah. So this is one where I've been guilty of both crimes that have been presented. So the person who's going to win is going to be the person who I have more penance to feel. I feel like I have to... Yeah.
So the one you feel more guilty for.
More guilty for, yeah. And obviously with Sebastian's, it's actually really sort of like... In many ways, it's sort of that crime, when I have been guilty of it, is really sort of belittling of the emotional capacity of the homosexual community to suggest that...
You.
Shut up. To suggest... Shut up, you're gay. to suggest that they should just, like, they would automatically fall... Well, fancy and may even fall in love with someone just because they share one particular trait, and it ignores all of their other personal characteristics.
Thank you.
This week's winner is Ragu.
Surprise, surprise, surprise!
Dear listener, if you could not see that a fucking mile away.
And by the way, it's pronounced faggot.
It makes me so uncomfortable when you say that.
Why? Because I say it with such malice?
Yeah, with such passion.
Ragu earned that one in the same way that your wife or whatever she is earned that one where she made up the punishment, you know, when she looked like she was having a really long and difficult fart for like when someone was talking, and then she was like, I have a great punishment, and I was like, oh, that's what you were doing. So yeah, congratulations to Ragu.
Well done.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Butterflies on the Wheel. As said at the beginning, please write into us at butterfliespodcast@gmail.com, butterfliespodcast@gmail.com with your stories. We've got an Instagram page, which is Butterflies Podcast. We've got a Twitter, which we never use, called Butterflies Pod. And is there anything else, guys?
I don't think so.
Are you guys ready for the cheese course?
Yes, absolutely. Are you ready for my reaction to it because of my dairy intolerance? Goodbye.